Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Getting It Done, and I am your host, Dr. Walter Dean. You know, for the last two sessions, we've been doing some Black history. These are people who probably will never be in anybody's history books unless somebody, unless it's a specialty kind of thing. We started off our segments with the great Charlie Parker as a historian. I felt that it might be appropriate to do something about one of the founders of bebop, the particular jazz that we presently have today. Charlie Parker had a lot to do with that. And then we went on, and Friday, we did a show with Natalie Cole and Marvin Gaye, and we started off doing some other things, and a lot of people got cut off because we had so many people on the show. Not on the show, but that called in. So we couldn't conclude it with everybody hearing it. So I decided to go back and do the other singer who I consider to be one of the greatest singers who's no longer with us, who sang the Star Spangled Banner, as did Marvin Gaye. Let's give a listen.
To honor America, especially the brave men and women serving our nation in the Persian Gulf and throughout the world, please join in the singing of our national anthem. The anthem will be followed by a flyover of F-16 jets from the 56th Tactical Training Wing at McDill Air Force Base, and will be performed by the Florida Orchestra under the direction of Maestro Yaha Ling and sung by Grammy Award winner Whitney Houston.
That was the great Whitney Houston singing the Star Spangled Banner. In our last show, we had Marvin Gaye. And it's hard to choose between either of the two because both of them were so great. There's just not enough that you can say about either of the two. It's too bad we lost both of them at a very young age. But They are part history. They are part of Black history, and have given so much to our society as a whole in setting vocal examples of what a person can do with their voices. We're going to go on, and we're going to listen to two people who are still with us today, who I consider to be two great jazz guitarists. They're not the greatest, because we're going to play him next after we play these two gentlemen right here. And I'm going to, they are, by the way, who I consider to be fantastic. We're talking about George Benson and Earl Klugh. Let's give a listen. Thank you. That was the great George Benson and Earl Klugh, live in Tokyo, Japan on May 15th, 1988. And both of them were extremely young at the time because right now Earl Klugh is 68 and George Benson is 77. So, you know, this was some time ago. 88, we're talking about what? almost 40 years ago. 88, 98, now. Yeah, pretty close to 40 years. You can't say enough about both of these guys. They're just phenomenal, even in their adult extended age. These guys are on it, trust me. I have not heard anybody that can even come anywhere close to what they're capable of doing. One guy. That's who you're going to be listening to next. This guy right here, to me, was introduced to me by my wife. She wasn't my wife at the time. She was my girlfriend in Boston, Massachusetts. To me, I'm trying to figure out how does this young lady know so much about music? It still found out that her father was a musician. Let's listen.
For a classic of modern jazz, the Thelonious Monk's Round Midnight.
Wes Montgomery.
Thank you.
Died at a very early age. I think he was 45 years old when he left here. He was born in 1923. Died in 1968, so he was in his 40s. And as a matter of fact, if he was living today, he'd still be, you know, able to play the guitar. He'd be in his 80s, but he'd still be out there. You know, he'd still... you have a lot of musicians who are still alive that are playing that are in their 80s. Yosef Lateef is playing. But more importantly, he would not be in anybody's history book. And most of the guitar players today, if you were to ask them about Wes Montgomery, if you play a real guitar and you've been playing for a while, you'll know who Wes Montgomery is, because most of the musicians today want to sound Wes Montgomery. The guy was just, if you were to watch him play, he was one of those particular musicians that you could, it seemed like he was consumed in feeling into his instrument, because he could do things with that musical instrument and played with just his thumb on one side of the guitar, and although he could play without, he didn't play with any assistance or with a stringing or anything like that. Everything was done with his thumb, like Earl Klug plays with his fingernails. Each of your musicians today, as well as the past, have their own distinct style. If you heard Wes Montgomery one time, you'll never forget him. You'll know that sound because of the mixture of chords that he played when it played the melody. Now, the next music. Oh, by the way, I meant to tell you that we also did the last show. We started off with one of the greatest musicians who I thought was one of the greatest arrangers and songwriters as well as piano players, and that was Joe Samples. And he passed on. He was 77 years old also when he left here. He's been gone for a while now, but I just wanted to let you know that I didn't forget that Joe Samples, to me, was really top shelf. We're going to talk a brief message about the gentleman that I'm going to play next, who was a child prodigy, went to Juilliard School of Music when he was 15 years old as a trumpet player. And his sisters used to say that they couldn't understand what he was doing because he drove everybody nuts with the sound that he was making. But we're not talking about a sound. This man could write music, arrange music, play music. Everybody wanted to play with Miles Davis. The first album he put out was with Charlie Parker while he was in college, while he was at Juilliard. And he decided to just leave Juilliard and go on about his business. But you won't find Miles Davis in anybody's history books, but the man is one of the founders of the bebop era, he and Dizzy Gillespie. And he was one of the founders. And so we're going to listen to an album, or not the whole album, but some songs from that album that laid down the foundation for what's called smooth jazz. And by the way, he wrote things down on a little strip of paper when he gave it to the guys to play the parts. Later on, of course, the arrangements were written down, but initially when they recorded in the church at 3 o'clock in the morning, everybody got off from their regular jobs. Let's listen to an album or song on the album called Kind of Blue.
They get you in the door with a free weekend trip or dinner, or sometimes it's just a Visa gift card. Thank you.
started in the middle of the album because there's so many other songs that I want you to hear from this particular album. That was Miles Davis. The person you started to hear was Paul Chambers was on bass, and then you had Philly Joe Jones on the drums. And it was considered to be probably the best rhythm ever recorded, with the bass of Philly Joe Jones, with the bass being Paul Chambers, and the drums of Philly Joe Jones. Philly Joe Jones was from Philadelphia, but that's what they call him, Philly Joe Jones. And I had an opportunity when I was in the Army to see Philly Joe Jones at the Jazz Workshop in New York when he was playing there with Dizzy Gillespie. What a fantastic musicians. Now, all of these guys that you're going to hear on this album, which is so remarkable, were given instructions at the recording. No practice, one take. What you're listening to is pure genius. Let's go on.
Do you like ads? I don't. That's why we created Ad Remover. It's a product that makes it so you never...
from the album Kinda Blue, Miles Davis' quintet, featuring Bobby Timmons on the piano, Paul Chambers on the bass, Coltrane playing tenor saxophone, Cannonball playing alto saxophone, Miles playing the trumpet. And, you know, it's just remarkable that you can put together some music so quickly in the night. One take, giving them the on script or someone some piece of paper of what they're going to do, and just went ahead and did it. The album is a classic in all of the jazz. We recorded in 1959, and it's one of the, still one of the best sold albums today. Hard to find. You have to actually, you got to order it. We're going to listen to one more song, except that this time the piano, everybody will be the same, except the piano player will be Red Garland. Everybody else will be the same.
I just turned 63. This is how I... Thank you.
That was from the album, Miles Davis playing trumpet. And let me correct myself. That was not Red Garland on the piano. That was the great Bill Evans. Miles was born in 1926. Now, just think about that for a minute. Miles was born in 1926. And he died in 1991. He was 65 years old when he died in 1991 from an operation he had, because he had an operation earlier to try to get his voice back. And for some reason, he was told not to holler or not to say too much or anything like that. And, you know, Miles was very obstinate. He did whatever he felt like doing and screamed and hollered at somebody, and his voice became a whisper. Miles talked, like that, because he didn't do what he was told to do. And so Miles, 20 years later, after having that first operation, decided to go back and correct that at age 65. And I think he got something happened to them, and the operation was okay. But then somewhere during that, after the operation, he had blood clot, went straight to his brain and killed him. So Miles was born to the great Cicely Tyson that died recently. She died, she was 90-some years of age, but she was married to Miles Davis, two great people. Fantastic people. Probably couldn't get along. Great people have a very difficult time of getting along with each other. But you will not find Miles in anybody's history book. But he, in that particular album that he put together, showed how much of a genius this man was. All of it, just by the virtue of the fact of being accepted at age 15 into Juilliard School of Music. And it's just remarkable that happened. I'm gonna change up a little bit, and I'm, you know, to end our show, I'm gonna go back and listen to some more George Benson and Earl Klugh, how they sounded way back in the day. Let's give a listen. Thank you.
don't want to come to the game. Right now, I'm going to turn you over to my great grandmother, Earl Cleary, one of my favorite guitar players of all time. And he's going to play for you right now. I'll be back. Thank you.
That was done in Tokyo in 1988. Both of these young men were young at the time and was a skill of people who were way beyond their years. If we ever get past this pandemic, be sure to wear your mask no matter where you go, as long as you're out of your house. Save yourself and other people's lives. This has been Getting It Done, and I have been your host, Dr. Walter Dean. Have a good week.